You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, that's enough.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, that'll be enough. That's it. Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Did you know that? I'm Ron Van Dam. How are you? Nice to meet you. You got a little food stuck in the corner of your mouth over there? No. A little higher. No. Over more. There you go. Yeah. You got a little smudge of dirt there. No, it's on your cheek. A little higher. A little bit to the left. No, the other left. That's higher. That's it. There, you got it now. God, look in the mirror every once in a while. Jesus, I'm exhausted. Sometimes I'm scared to look in the mirror because all these things start popping up on my body and I don't know what they are. It's like a scavenger hunt. And I don't want to call my doctor every time I get a little red mark or a little blister or something. You know, then I sound like I'm a hypochondriac. But I'm not. But these things keep... What is that? How did I get that bruise? I didn't fall down. What's the bruise from? I mean, what am I doing? Do I sleepwalk? I go to bed at night and I feel fine. I wake up in the morning, I got a bruise on my leg. What the hell happened? Where did I go? Did I go to Walmart in the middle of the night and I didn't know it? They're not even open. You know now, if you go to Walmart and you go shopping and you're not wearing pajama pants, they won't let you in. Yep, that's true. You have to dress down to get in. I'm serious. They will not let you in otherwise. They are sold out of pajama pants all the time because now it's a uniform. That's enough. Hey, welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you here, as it always is. I don't know how to thank you, so I don't even try. You make yourself comfortable. You hear now? You make yourself comfortable. I love the people who live in the South, don't you? No? I love it because they're so hospitable to your face. Oh, how are you? Isn't this a grand old day? Don't you feel like kissing the sky? Oh, would you like a piece of pie, by the way? Can I get you a sweet iced tea? I got to put so much sugar in it, you're going to have heart problems. But you're going to love it, though. You're going to love your heart problems because, and you're looking so sweet. Sit down, sweetie. Sugar pie, can I get you something, sweetie, sugar pie? Everything's sweet here in the South. Hey, your iced tea, the nicknames I call you, sweetie pie, honey bear. So can I get you a piece of pie? Would you like a piece of pie? I'm going to get you a piece of pie. You sit down. You take your leg. I'll get you something. You sit there. I'll take care of you. That's people in the South. But then when you leave their house or you get out of their range, then they put you down. What a bastard. What a freaking stupid low-life bastard. Yeah, it's I don't know. People are two-faced. They have two faces. There's the talk to your face face, and there's a talk behind your back face. They have a face in behind their head. Yeah, people. Anytime you see somebody whispering to somebody else, it's about you. Oh, there's no question about it. You rationalize by saying, I wonder who they're talking about. It's you, idiot. They're talking about you. Otherwise, they wouldn't be whispering. You're the only one nearby that they don't want to have you hear. They're talking about you. The first thing you should do, if you see somebody whispering and looking in your direction, the first thing you should do is check your zipper on your pants. And ladies, even if you're wearing pants that don't have zippers, check it anyway. There could be a rip there or something. That's the first line of defense. I think they're talking about me. Is my crotch, anything in my crotch area showing at all? That's the first thing. The second thing you've got to assume when people are whispering within your perimeter, that you're to them, you're an idiot. You did something that really offends them simply by being there. Yeah, whispering is a rude, horrible thing to do. Especially if you can hear it. It's just awful. When you go to the beach, you know, and people are staring at you, your reaction is, whoa, I must be a hunk. They're looking at me. They cannot take their eyes off me. I must be radiating love. But really, when they're staring at you at the beach, look at that. Look at that skinny, pathetic-looking thing. I can't believe they even go to that. Look at it. I wouldn't even be in public if I looked like that. Look at that. Look at that roll of fat coming off of their neck. Oh, my God. I wonder if they wallow in mud like a pig when they get home. Oh, they probably are disgustingly oozing pus. Yeah, that's what they're really saying. Nobody whispers to the other person and says, look, isn't that a wonderful human being over there in the distance? Look, I wish I could have sex with that person right now. I don't even care if the sand creeps into parts of my body that will never go away. I don't like going to the beach for that reason. I don't know what people are thinking or what they're doing or how clean they are or anything like that. I don't want them there. And everybody's sweating. You don't go to the beach unless it's hot, usually. You put a blanket out and you put all this goopy crap on your body. Suntan lotion? No, it's goopy crap. Goopy crap. Goopy crap SP 40. I don't know what the SP stands for. Sun protection? Is that what it is? I don't even know. I don't even care. I'm not an information show necessarily. Beach people are disgusting. They just are. And there's sand. Have you noticed there's sand all over the place? When I get home from the beach, I find sand. I didn't know I had parts in my body that could... I didn't even know there was a place for sand to go. It's just... sand is just... And the sand shows up 6 months later in the middle of the winter. Wait a minute. I got sand in my crotch. I showered like 50 times. It's still there. Oh, my... It's like glitter. It's like glitter. It never goes away. And I think it multiplies around your body by itself. It's like an amoeba of some sort. Sand and glitter. Glittery sand. Oh, the worst. That's the worst. It's horrible going to the beach. It's the only place, really, where when you get home, the first thing you immediately do is shower. I mean, how wonderful can the beach be? I spent the whole day at the beach. I got a shower. I got a shower. If the beach is so wonderful, what do you got a shower for? I guess it's not that nice, is it? Got to shower all the goop that you put on your body and all the sand that got up your crotch. The beach, give me a break. When I see people sitting at the beach, I think of a bunch of cats in a litter box. It's pretty much what I see. I don't know. It's just weird for people to lie there in the sun on the beach like some type of a rotisserie chicken. It's just, what are you doing? You gathering up cancer rays? Is that what you're doing? Saving them for a rainy day? the hell are you doing out there? Then there's people on the beach with beach umbrellas. I'm going to go get myself some sun. Bring the umbrella so I can't get any sun, please. It's very confusing. And then to cool off, you go into the water. Now, it's not a swimming pool. It's the ocean. It's capable of pulling you out to sea and drowning you at any given moment. There's jellyfish out there. They can sting the hell out of you and kill you if they want to. They choose not to sometimes. There are sharks that are just waiting for your feet. Oh, because seaweed, I don't think seaweed is an animal, but it sure feels like one. So that's how you cool off. You go into a body of water that is a lot deeper than you are and can suck you down and kill you to the point where you won't live anymore, which is what killing actually is. Do you ever go out to a beach and you get into the water and you're playing around in the water and jumping up and down in the waves like some type of two-year-old? And then you decide to get out of the water, and you're about 2 miles down the beach. How the hell did I get down here? Where's my beach blanket? Buddy, it's 2 miles that way. The current took me that far, and I didn't even realize it? Yes, that's the beauty of the beach. It screws with you. And then here comes a big wave that can drown you. Oh, no. And people are actually surfing on it. They find a way to take these gigantic waves called tidal waves, and they put a surfboard on it and they turn it into a sport. I mean, come on, man. The beach, not for me. I actually have some freckles, and that's like a warning sign. It's a red flag. Freckles, don't go near the sun. Stay away from the sun. Wear a hat. Wear SPF all the time. Sun protection, fine. SP, SPF, SPFC, SPFC, ASPCA, FDIC. Wear all that stuff. Make sure you wear a hat with a brim. The most disgusting thing at the beach are the people who put the suntan lotion, that white creamy stuff, on their nose. It looks like an entire beach of circus clowns. Or mimes that ran out of makeup. It's just, the whole thing is just weird. I don't care for the beach. Especially these days, you know. The beach is full of a lot of people. Yeah, that's the problem. I guess the beach would be very, very nice at sunset if it's nice and cool out and you're walking on the beach, you know, in sandals, flip-flops, which is a stupid, stupid garment. Why would somebody name a garment a flip-flop? That's supposed to be a sturdy shoe. What are we going to name our shoes? Flip-flops, so that people can understand that they'll fall down all the time, that the bottom of the shoe does not adhere to your foot at all. They're flip-floppy. Let's see how many of those we can sell. Bob, they're selling like hotcakes. Well, we should sell hotcakes then. This is fantastic. People are buying this stuff. That's when the beach is nice. There's a sunset, there's a nice breeze, you stick your toes in it. That's as far as in the water as you go. You stick your toes in the water. That's enough. That'll do. Thank you. Beach my ass. Oh, Lord. It's crazy, man. Anyway, that's the summer for you. I live in the Massachusetts area, the general New England area, thus the name of the company. And I don't know why I live here. I have no idea. In the winter, look in the winter there. Look in the winter. What do you see in the winter? In the winter, left a letter out. In the winter, it's freaking cold in New England. Everybody's titties freeze. Everybody's. In the summer, your skin virtually melts on your bones. It's freaking hot. So I like the spring and I like the fall or autumn, if you want to call it that. Problem is, those seasons only last for about 3 days. The perfect weather is probably 65 to 70 degrees. That's about like maybe 7 days a year that happens. The rest is extreme heat or extreme cold. What the hell am I doing here? But then, you know, to get the more temperate weather, I have to move. And I'm so lazy. I don't even wash the dishes in the sink sometimes. Actually, I do. I just said that for comedy purposes to show how lazy I am. I guess I'm not that lazy. Hoarding has become a thing with this this new normal. Stop with that phrase, by the way, the new normal. Just stop with that. It's freaking me out. Normal is what we all go for as a control normal thing. We need a normal in our lives so we can go back to it and always, like, that's home base is the normal. Don't screw with my normal. Now they are. Now they're calling it the new normal. Ooh. Don't fuck with my normal. I'm sorry, we're going to call it that, and that's that. Oh, no. Words are everything. Words are everything. I've said this so many times before. If you walk up to somebody and you say, you're looking really good today, you're looking good. Have a nice day. You feel good. Your day is you were walking on a cloud. You walk down the street, all of a sudden your posture gets better. You feel good about yourself because somebody, some stranger complimented you about how great you look today. Or they smile at you. You're walking down the street. They can't do that anymore, by the way. You can't smile at somebody with a mask on. That's a problem. Unless you have a series of masks that show the facial expressions like happy or sad. Yeah, that's the new normal, by the way. Anyway, if someone pays you a compliment, you ride that like the surf at a beach that I don't go to. You love it when you hear, oh, your day is set in stone of love and wonderfulness and the world's bright. You hear harps all over the place. But if someone says something sarcastically weird to you, like, whoa, are you all right? You don't look good. That ruins your day. What do you mean I don't look good? I feel fine. What do you mean I don't? Wait. Come back. Or if someone says, you know, you're really an asshole. Oh, no, I'm not. Am I an ass? Yes, you probably are. Words mean a lot. They set you thinking in the wrong pattern, whether you want to take it or you might say, I don't care what people say to me. I don't care what they say to me. I don't care. They don't know me. You don't know me. I don't care what they say. But you do. Inside, you got stuff going on that accepts everything. Even though your hard shell says, I'm not accepting that. Inside, your soft shell takes it in. You're like a freaking M&M. You got a hard candy coating on the outside, but inside, you're melting chocolate. It's true. Words make a difference. They mean something. My guest today is about that. And my guest is targeting the comments toward a person that is in my face 24/7. He happens to be the president. I don't know how you feel about him. I think you know from listening to this show how I feel about him. And one of his most outrageous qualities is the stuff that he says. Why does he say this stuff that is so combative, argumentative, defensive, misleading? Why? Our guest attempts in his new book to explain how this stuff even happens. I know. But before we go to that, how about a little commercial break? I think it's important.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, your plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Fred Garcia joins us. He's author of Words on Fire, The Power of Incendiary Language and How to Confront It. Boy, the book couldn't come out at a better time, to be honest with you. I'm surrounded by that kind of language. I was before, now more than ever. Have you found, thanks for being here, by the way. Have you found that there has been an increase in this problem?
Yeah, what I have found is an escalation in the first candidate Trump and then President Trump's use of incendiary language in ways that lead some people to commit violence. And what we found in the last 2 weeks is the escalation from the use of dehumanizing language and demonizing language to language that actually describes the violence.
Right.
So 2 weeks ago, we had a public official, the person who is the president of Cowboys for Trump, saying the only good Democrat is a dead Democrat.
Whoa.
And the president actually retweeted that video.
Oh, my God.
And that is unprecedented. And that was followed 2 days later when we had the first night of civil unrest in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Of the president tweeting, when the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And those two things coming 48 hours apart were the first time the president actually used the vocabulary of violence.
Yeah.
In the past, he had used dehumanizing language, but now he was actually provoking violence.
Well,
using the vocabulary of violence.
Correct. Yes, that he did, because he claims, after the fact, that he was talking about that the looters, there are looters, and the shooting begins on their side, not the police. But of course, that obviously was not the intent. And like you say, that's still a violent statement to make. I think Trump is so stupid that he doesn't realize the power of his words, or does he?
I conclude in the book that I don't believe he intends the violence.
Right.
I believe that he is indifference to the violence that predictably follows his language.
Yes.
And one of the things that we now are beginning to see is the social media platforms are now labeling this. What Twitter said in terms of the looting starts, the shooting starts, he says the Twitter labeled it as glorifying violence.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the president freaked out and tried to shut down Twitter and things.
Sure.
He said he would try to shut down Twitter and that kind of thing. But there's a really fascinating story that appeared in Newsweek 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, there's a guy who on Twitter and Facebook created accounts that all they do is post what the president has just put up on Twitter. And what's fascinating is Twitter has an algorithm, and they tried to shut down that guy's site, saying this is a violence-provoking site.
Mm-hmm.
And all he was doing was repurposing the president's tweets.
Yes, yes.
And similarly on Facebook, Facebook flagged it and said, this is inappropriate language. You cannot put this on Facebook. Of course, it's exactly the same language that the president was posting.
Well, yeah, but even if you retweet, you're saying it yourself. I mean, you're putting those words into your mouth, so you're just as guilty, obviously.
Tweeting is an intentional act, so whether you're posting it initially or you're retweeting it, it is language that creates the social conditions in which violence becomes possible.
Yeah, Fred, why do we put up with this crap when it's so much in our face and so obvious? Why do most Americans just respond by saying, well, that's him? And when it is that serious?
In the book, I describe three parallel processes over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
The first is television news that has migrated from primarily public service to spectacle,
right,
and entertainment.
Right.
The second is highly polarized politics that began about 30 years ago, where compromise is seen to be weakness. And then finally, the degradation of civil discourse in general, where critical thinking has diminished a bit, and where people now tolerate incivility in a way that hasn't been the case in a very long time. Right. And those three together have created essentially a toxic environment in which a combination of social media and we narrow cast our own news to ourselves, where people are in a bubble. And if you watch one particular news network, you don't pay attention to any of the others. And the algorithms on social media tend to send us the things that are like what we just liked. So for Netflix, that's fine. You like this cop show, we'll offer you this cop show. But in terms of news, we now get the news we want rather than the news that everybody else gets.
That's insightful.
And that leads to a vicious cycle in which we assume that that's the only news there is. And anybody who doesn't agree with us, there's something wrong with them.
That's so accurate. It's not funny. Amazingly so.
Yeah, no, this is in terms of civic life, this is tragic.
It is tragic. Do you believe, kind of off the mark here, do you believe that the uprising with the Black Lives Matters and that, you know, that thing, do you believe that that is an indication that people are indeed starting not to just accept things anymore and starting to say, no, that's gonna stop right now? We might do that through voting in the fall. I don't know. But do you think that there are segments of the population, large ones, that say, no, we're recognizing it, we're not putting up with this anymore?
I think the breakthrough moment came last week when General Mattis, former Secretary of Defense, finally said enough.
Yes.
Now, when Secretary Mattis left in a dispute with the president over what was happening in Syria, he promised that he would not criticize the sitting president. Mm-hmm. And as a Marine four-star general, I can understand that value system. But when the president said he was going to mobilize the active duty military to keep order in the streets, which is contrary to American law and contrary to American tradition, General Mattis finally said enough. Now, he'd been on a book tour in which he scrupulously chose not to criticize the president. And he would have sold a lot more books if he had.
Mm-hmm.
But that was too much. And General Mattis published a piece in The Atlantic in which he said, this president violates the Constitution, and he's the only president in my lifetime who has only divided and never attempted to unite.
Mm-hmm.
That essentially led many other 3- and 4-star generals and admirals to come out and say the same thing. And I think that is the turning point.
Interesting.
That is the inflection point. It happened to coincide with the civil unrest in the streets, but I think the turning point was people who were otherwise scrupulously neutral coming out and criticizing. Now, we also have to recognize that the civil unrest in the streets followed two unrelated things. The first is we witnessed the equivalent of a lynching, which was a slow public execution in the public square.
Mm-hmm.
then it was videotaped. This is the George Floyd murder, where we literally witnessed the life being choked out of him.
Right.
And that was unprecedented. That's not like what happened in the Atlanta parking lot. That's not like a shooting that happens quickly.
Yeah.
But for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, we literally watched him have the life choked out of him.
Yeah.
And that happened to coincide with the first week that many states were opening up after forced stay-at-home orders.
Right.
And so suddenly people were in the street with an outrage to protest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the combination of what happened in front of the White House with the president walking to the church and holding up a Bible upside down and backwards, bringing with him senior officials in the military, including General Milley, who has since apologized for it, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. A peaceful protest that was gassed and flashbanged and rubber bullets were shot at in order to clear a path for the president to take that photo op.
Right.
And the Secretary of Defense talking about American cities, saying that the U.S. military would dominate the battle space, which was outrageous. The secretary has since apologized for that language and renounced it. But all of those things converged in the same week. And the pendulum is now swinging back in the other direction. But those events from 2 weeks ago, I think, were a turning point moment in this presidency, and I would say in the life of the republic.
I guess it'll be resolved one way or the other in a few months to see where America wants to go. But in the meantime, a lot of stuff can happen.
In the meantime, we have a president who uses language in ways that inspire some people to commit violence, in ways that alienate many others.
Right.
And it is only going to be more challenging as we get closer and closer to November. And so what I'm doing in my book is calling on civic leaders and engaged citizens to recognize the pattern and raise the alarm to make it less likely that he could get away with it. This is the first time in his presidency that he seems to be unable to get away with it.
But
because he was able to get away with it for so long, he has escalated the pattern to the point now where people can see it vividly.
Correct. That's the difference. It's obvious. Yeah. It's in your face. And eventually the walls come crumbling down, and the timing on this might be quite interesting, as a matter of fact. The book is called Words on Fire. Right. Words on Fire, The Power of Incendiary Language and How to Confront It. We do have a poster child for this, so that's cool in that sense, and that's what the book is basically about. But it's interesting. There are personality types which follow this particular lead, and I think we should be aware of all people that carry these personality types because they're all quite dangerous and destructive. Is there a website we can visit?
It's www.wordsonfire.net.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today, Fred.
Thank you, Ron.
Fred Garcia. Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. Have yourselves a wonderful... You've been fantastic. You've just been great. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I know. I'm not threatening you. I'm just saying. Don't get down my throat. Don't whisper in front of me. Will you join me tomorrow? Please, Friday. It's going to be a Friday weekend show tomorrow. Those are usually pretty good. All right, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. And as usual, I wish you peace.